Good evening, everyone. It's my first time here. It's my great privilege to be here. But also, I am kind of intimidated to come here. Because back in RPTS, when I was taking preaching class, I find Micah's name on Dr. Pruter's preaching textbook. Since then, Micah's name has become a legend in my memory. So I understand the challenge to come to preach a congregation whose taste has been well cultivated by Micah. But after all, preachers are just instruments. We are God's, the vessel of God's words. Whether strong or weak, we only present to you the pure word of God. So may God bless the preaching of his word. Our text tonight is from Numbers chapter 22, verses 20 through 35. Numbers 22, verses 20 through 35. You can find this text on your Pew Bible on the page 166 of your Pew Bible. This is a familiar story about a wizard, a donkey, and the angel of the Lord. So may God use this familiar story to refresh your faith in Jesus Christ, and maybe even to challenge you to redirect your heart to Jesus Christ, our Savior. Now I will read, and please pay attention to the word of God. God came to Balaam at night and said to him, "If the men have come to call you, rise up and go with them. But only the word which I speak to you shall you do." So Balaam arose in the morning and saddled his donkey and went with the leaders of Moab. But God was angry because he was going. And the angel of the Lord took his stand in the way as an adversary against him. Now he was riding on his donkey, and his two servants were with him. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand, the donkey turned off from the way and went into the field. But Balaam struck the donkey to turn her back into the way. Then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path of the vineyards with a wall on this side and a wall on this side. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she pressed herself to the wall and pressed Balaam's foot against the wall. So he struck her again. The angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn to the right hand or the left. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she lay down under Balaam. So Balaam was angry and struck the donkey with his stick. And the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and she said to Balaam, "What have I done to you that you have struck me these three times?" Then Balaam said to the donkey, "Because you have made a mockery of me. If there had been a sword in my hand, I would have killed you by now." The donkey said to Balaam, "Am I not your donkey on which you have ridden all your life to this day? Have I ever been accustomed to do so to you?" And he said, "No." Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand. And he bowed all the way to the ground. The angel of the Lord said to him, "Why have you struck your donkey these three times? Behold, I have come out as an adversary because your way was contrary to me. But the donkey saw me and turned aside from me these three times. If she had not turned aside from me, I would surely have killed you just now and let her live. Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I did not know that you were standing in the way against me. Now then, if it is displeasing to you, I will turn back. But the angel of the Lord said to Balaam, Go with the men, but you shall speak only the word which I tell you. So Balaam went along with the leaders of Balak. This is the word of God. Let's pray. Our Father, we ask you that you will open our eyes. For sometimes we may be as blind as Balaam, and we need you to open our eyes so that we can see the way we are going, so that we can see the way you want us to go. So help us tonight, that your word to direct us to the right way, to the way everlasting. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have you ever been pulled over by the police? I still remember the first time when I was pulled over for speeding. I was taking Amy, my current wife, and a group of students to Lake Erie. At that time, Amy and I had not started dating yet, but I already had a crush on her. So driven by the urge to impress her, I drove fast on the highway to show off my driving skill, about 15 miles per hour above the speed limit. Amy asked me again and again to slow down, but I ignored her. She didn't know how to drive. Why should I listen to her? Then the car in front of me braked abruptly, and I got angry. Instead of slowing down, I changed lane and accelerated to pass that car. The moment I passed, I saw the police car in ambush. And a few seconds later, I heard the siren sound and the flashing light. Obviously, I was pulled over and got a big ticket. I was so embarrassed. I should have followed the speed limit sign there. I should have taken Amy's advice. I should have been alarmed by the car in front of me. But I ignored all these warning signs, and I got put over by the police. And in our text today, we saw Balaam also put over by the angel of the Lord. He was on his way to Moab, but he was put over for driving in the wrong direction. When his donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, three times she tried to turn aside, but Balaam didn't pay attention. He didn't turn back. He ignored all the warning signs. He forced his donkey to keep going until he was rebuked by his donkey, until he was pulled over by the angel of the Lord. So who's Balaam? Balaam was a seer who charged fees for divination. He had a far-reaching reputation for his professionalism. You may even imagine he had an eye-catching billboard in front of his office, which says, Whomever I bless, as blessed. Whomever I curse, as cursed. But Balaam's reputation put him into a dilemma. On the one hand, an invitation from Balak, king of Moab, promised him a big paycheck. And on the other hand, the message from the Lord gave a definitive no. Balak said, "Come now, curse this people for me." But God said, "You shall not curse this people, for they are blessed." This was an insoluble dilemma. Whether to serve Balak or to obey God, Balaam had to make a choice. It was not a tough call for Balaam. He was a longtime servant of the Lord, and he would never do anything contrary to the commandment of the Lord his God. So he said no to Balak. But when Balak sent for him a second time and offered a greater reward, Balaam hesitated to refuse. He understood the risk of offending a persistent king. Not only his profit would be lost, and his damage and his reputation be damaged, but his life might also be endangered. Surely God would not put his faithful servant in such a tough situation. Surely there must be a way to solve this dilemma. So Balaam decided to see God's will again. And this action leads to the beginning of our text today. In verse 20, in response to Balaam's request, God came to him at night and said to him, "If the men have come to call you, rise up and go with them. But only the word which I speak to you shall you do." What a relief to Balaam when he received God's permission. God finally provided a solution to his dilemma. He could now serve both Balak and obey God. He could now become rich and faithful at the same time. He can now fulfill the desires of this world. And at the same time, he can also keep an intimate relationship with God. Everything seemed to work out. All things worked together for Balaam's good. Balaam was very happy. So he rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and went on his way to Moab. Balaam was on the way. He was on his way to success. He was on his way to fame and wealth. And this way seemed to be the way that God had provided him. This seemed to be the way that God had appointed him to. However, there was an unexpected turn at the beginning of Balaam's trip. In verse 22, we are told God was angry because Balaam was going. And the angel of the Lord took his stand in the way as an adversary against him. The angel of the Lord was in Balaam's way. The angel of the Lord became Balaam's adversary. The Hebrew word for adversary is Satan. That's how Satan got his name, because he is the adversary of God and of God's people. But here, the angel of the Lord assumed this title and stood against Balaam. The title adversary exposes God, Balaam's identity. He was no longer the servant of the Lord. But by allying himself with Balak, he became the enemy of the Lord. At first sight, we might want to defend Balaam. After all, Balaam acted as a sincere believer who tried to practice faith in this pagan world, in this complex world. He always sought the will of God, and he always obeyed the voice of God. So why was God angry with him? Why the angel of the Lord became his adversary? Later in verse 32, the angel of the Lord gave the answer. He said to Balaam, "Behold, I have come out as your adversary because your way was contrary to me." The way of Balaam was contrary to the way of the Lord. But this was not Balaam's original intention. He wanted to obey God, and he didn't want to offend Balak either. But all he hoped was to take a middle way between Balak and God. He never meant to do anything contrary to God's command. But this was exactly what he ended up doing. Brothers and sisters, let Balaam's example alert you. For the real temptation to a Christian is not to disobey God. The real temptation is to think that you can love both the Father and the world. To believe that you can serve both God and money. To imagine that you can follow both the spirit and the flesh. The real temptation is to think that there is always a middle way to avoid all the conflicts, to solve all the dilemmas you have to face in this sinful generation. But it's usually this so-called middle way that leads people astray and proves to be the way contrary to God. By the way of Balaam, many have gone astray. Scholars become liberal when they try to reconcile Christianity with the Enlightenment philosophers. Counselors become secular when they try to integrate psychology with scripture. And believers become worldly when they try to harmonize God's law and the social trend. None of them starts with a direct denial of God and his word, but they all end up there with Balaam. So brothers and sisters, you are living in a fallen world. You face attacks on your faith on every side, and you may meet challenges to your faith every day. There are so many controversial issues that you struggle to find an answer to. And there are so many dilemmas that you fail to find a solution to. But the real challenge of Christian life is not to find the optimized way among many possibilities. The real challenge is to stick to the straight way of the Lord at all costs. I don't know what kind of dilemma you are facing now, but maybe it's not a dilemma at all. It's just a test of your faith to see if you are willing to bear the cost of obeying God. Balaam had no dilemma. He only needed to obey God at the cost of his fortune. And Abraham had no dilemma. He only needed to obey God at the cost of his son. And Jesus had no dilemma. He only needed to obey God at the cost of his own life. So maybe you feel that you are facing a dilemma. But maybe you have no dilemma. And all you need to do is to obey God at the cost of something you are not willing to give up. When the angel of the Lord stood in Balaam's way as his adversary, Balaam failed to see this angel of the Lord. It was an ironic scene. A seer who claimed to foresee the future could not see a person standing right in front of him. A prophet who enjoyed personal communication with God could not sense the anger of God against him. Like a senseless beast, Balaam just went on his way. Like a blind man, he ignored the sword hanging over his head. Brothers and sisters, when you try to serve God and idols, when you try to find the middle way between God and the world, God will inevitably become your hindrance to your worldly pursuit. And when God becomes your hindrance, you will ignore him. You will become blind to him. You will ignore his command, even if it's clearly written in the Bible. You will justify your sin, even when you are openly disciplined by the session. It doesn't matter how long you have become a Christian. It doesn't matter how intimate you have been with God. It happened to Balaam, and it will happen to any double-minded idolater who wants to serve two masters. So please take heart. Balaam didn't see that he was being opposed by the angel of the Lord. When he tried to serve God and Balak, when he tried to serve God and his greed for money, he was still thinking that he was obeying God. This is the power of idolatry. That he can blind your eyes. He can deceive your heart and make you think that you are still a faithful believer. But what Balaam failed to see, his donkey saw clearly. Three times the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with a drawn sword in his hand. And three times she turned aside before him. The text presents a consistent pattern here. Each time the angel of the Lord would stand in a certain place, then the donkey would see the angel and turn aside. And then Balaam would strike his donkey. But there is also a gradual escalation of the situation. For the first time, the angel of the Lord stood in the road, and the donkey turned aside out of the road and went into the field. And second time, the angel stood in a narrow path between two vineyards, and the donkey pushed against the wall to the point of hurting Balaam's foot. And third time, the angel stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn either right or left, and the donkey refused to go any further and lay down under Balaam. And this time, Balaam's anger was kindled, and he struck the donkey with his stick. So as Balaam moved on, the way was becoming more and more narrow. The donkey was behaving more and more disobediently, and Balaam was getting more and more angry. At last, Balaam's journey turned into a farce when the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey. And this comes to the climax of the story. At the height of Balaam's anger, a speechless donkey spoke with human voice and restrained the prophet's madness. Brothers and sisters, you should be grateful that God will not leave you on your reckless way. Even when you may be blind to his presence and deaf to his voice, but he will still use means that you can't miss to warn you, to alert you, to bring you back. When things are not working as you expected, when people are not responding as you wished, when your plan is disrupted, when your anger is kindled, maybe this is the warning sign that God is sending to you. Maybe this is the opportunity for you to turn back. So pay attention to the warning signs that God sent you. God will not leave you reckless on your way, but just as he did with Balaam, he will also warn you with many signs. I remember one night when Amy was away for a women's retreat and I was alone with two kids. I had a long day with the kids and I was so exhausted. So when I put my kids to bed, I just didn't want to do anything. I just want to relax. So I was desperate to recline on my couch and watch TV. But very soon, my elder son Kai went downstairs and he came to me and he wouldn't go to his bed. So I had to put him back to his bed. But before I could sit on the couch, Kai came down again. And I had to force him to go back to his bedroom. Then he came down again. And this time I had enough. I roared at him and I spanked him hardly. I spanked him hard. And wiping his tears from his eyes, Kai murmured, "Dad, you have not prayed for me yet." For it's our family custom to pray for our kids before we put them to bed. When I heard Kai's word, it feels that I heard my donkey speak. I realized that my obsession with TV made me ignore my kids' need and distract me from drawing near to God. So I turned off TV and prayed with Kai at his bedside. My son fell asleep when I was still praying, and my soul found real rest in the Lord while I was praying. So brothers and sisters, it's better to confront a king than to be confronted by a donkey. And I want to let you know that I once was very much like a speechless donkey. I was very shy, always quiet, and I had never spoken in public before I became a Christian. If God had not opened my mouth, I would never dare to preach, not even once. And even now, I am aware of my strange accent, my flat tone, my awkward style, and I will never preach like a native speaker. But don't let these things repel you from hearing the message of God. But let these things alert you, remind you that God is using a donkey to preach to you. And when a donkey preaches, when a donkey speaks, you have to pay attention. You have to listen. So tonight, I appear to you as Balaam's donkey. I appear to you to examine your heart and see if there is an idol in you, to open your eyes and see if the angel of the Lord is standing against you, and to listen to your donkey and turn from the way that is contrary to God. This is a peer from a donkey. And finally, Balaam's eyes were opened when he saw the angel of the Lord. When he was put over by the angel of the Lord, he bowed all the way to the ground. He confessed his sin and promised to correct his way. It seems that Balaam learned his lesson. And in Moab, Balaam proved his repentance by blessing Israel and provoking Balak. So the story has a happy ending. The enemy of God was frustrated. The people of God were blessed. And the servant of God was restored. However, the story doesn't end here. In Numbers chapter 31, we find the real end of Balaam. He was killed with a sword by the people of Israel because he taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the sons of Israel to lead them into idolatry and adultery. As a dog turned to his vomit, Balaam returned to Balak to pursue his gain from wrongdoing. Like a driver who was pulled by the police, Balaam reduced his speed for a while, but then he just went faster and faster until he ended in a crash. Balaam's trip to Moab has every potential to mirror Paul's Damascus road experience, but he failed to reach conversion. He failed to receive salvation. Because after all, it's not the circumstance or the donkey that has the power to change man's heart. Only the work of Jesus Christ can deliver a man from the way of destruction. Only the gospel of Jesus can change, can heal the sickness of a man's heart. So contrary to Balaam's way to Moab, we see Jesus mounted on a donkey and coming to Jerusalem, not to curse people, but to bear the curse on himself. Not to gain profit, but to give himself as a ransom for many. Not for honor or prosperity, but to embrace shame, suffering, and death, even death on a cross. Not trying to find an easier way, but he stuck to the way of the cross to the end. So brothers and sisters, I am setting before you today two ways. The way of Balaam, which promises honor, wealth, prosperity, but only leads to death, to destruction, to eternal punishment. And the way of Jesus, which guarantees shame and suffering, but in the end will bring you joy, bring you glory, bring you eternal life. Which way are you now taking? Whose footsteps will you follow? The angel of the Lord is now standing before you. Do you want him to be your adversary or to be your commander? Let's pray. Oh God, search our hearts and reveal our ways. Our ways may be hidden, but you will expose it. Open our eyes and help us see the angel of the Lord. If we are going on the right way, strengthen our hearts and establish our steps. Help us fix our eyes on Jesus Christ, who is our Savior and our pioneer. But if our way is contrary to you, convict our hearts and restrain our feet. Use a donkey to rebuke us. Use Balaam to warn us. And give us no rest. Give us no peace until we turn back and return to you. O Lord, hear our prayer. Lead us in the way of Jesus Christ. Turn us off from the way of Balaam. And in the strong name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.